It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Henry Pass, guards! Guards! Tyler Bozak! Holy mackinaw, the Leafs have won it!
Important for us to get off to a good start here tonight. We're in a good situation. We want to keep it that way. We've got to start fast.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
It is a game night tonight. The Maple Leafs back at the ACC. Game four, looking to take a stranglehold on the series. They can go up 3-1, or as we know, the Caps can tie it up going back to Washington for game five. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. We're on until about 6:30, then the pregame with the Tap Man taking over. And I expect the building to be buzzing, although I will say the weather being what it is does feel like a bit of a different vibe walking into the Sport Check studio today.
There's a lot of talk about which game is the most important in a series, and it's water cooler talk. Well, if they win this one.
No, this is it.
You win the series?
Whoever wins tonight wins the series.
You're calling wins tonight wins
Me
the series.
Me too.
Look at you two.
This is the swing game. This is where.
You're not?
You're like I know even.
I'm not going to say the Maple Leafs can't win two more games if they lose tonight. I'm not going down that
but
road.
But all I'm saying is this is a swing game. It's a state. Last game, I know going into it, I said I'll change my percentage if they show me something. They showed me something, so they won the game. Great. I adjusted my percentage a little bit. But tonight is the game for me. This is the swing game. I think this is 3-1 or 2-2, man. This is for all the marbles, I think.
Let's bring in the host of the Rubber Boots podcast and see what he thinks.
James Duthie.
What do you think? You win tonight, you win the series?
No. I'm with Hayes. I don't think either way. I don't think Toronto wins the series if they win.
So you don't think 3-1?
Because I think that's what will happen. If they win tonight, everybody will think this is over and everybody will say Washington's dead. But I don't think so. They come back, win at home. Then they have to win two in a row. So I agree with you guys that it matters a lot. I always think game four. Remember how that stupid pivotal game five?
Right.
Everybody always says it every series.
Well,
pivotal
sometimes
game five.
Three, sometimes five.
But four is usually the one. Because you're either going 2-2, either you're going sweep, it's over. You're going 2-2 or you're going 3-1. And that's, to me, four is always the biggest. But if it's 2-2, then four wasn't the biggest, right?
Somebody said to me yesterday that the Washington Capitals are so used to being up 3-1 and then letting that fall, wouldn't that be the most ridiculous and kind of, this is the person, what the person said, leafy thing, is they get up 3-1 and then the Caps come storming.
Not impossible.
I would say that the pressure most certainly swings depending on how the game goes tonight.
Yeah.
So if the Caps tie it up, I think they realize, okay, we're back in this series, and now we have to win this series.
Right.
Which the pressure's on them anyway, even being down 2-1.
Right.
So maybe it's only a one-way street in terms of the pressure swinging one way or the other. I think regardless of the scenario, Washington's going to have pressure on them because of the regular season and the expectations. The Leafs have been flying under the radar. No one's talking about the Leafs and what they've accomplished. Everything's been about how Washington has handed it to them or allowed the Maple Leafs to do what they've been doing. I think if the Leafs win tonight, the pressure is on the Maple Leafs to close. I don't think it's
I don't
on
know
them
the right away.
I think real close. Duthie, if they're up 3-1 series.
If it suddenly gets to 3-2, 3-3, then you're right. All this stuff about house money disappears.
Right.
Because suddenly it's not Washington's ghosts, it's Toronto. I can't believe they're going to do this.
Well, and they have the same history.
If they go up 3-1, it's going to go from the biggest upset in the history of playoffs to a choke job if they don't close it down.
You know what it will be like? It's game seven in the third period, Leafs-Boston, on a grander scale.
Right.
The Leafs were not supposed to win that series at any point until they were up 4-1 with 11 minutes left.
And then that was the lock.
And then the pendulum swung. It's over. It's done, 99%. And then they choked that away. Make no mistake, the Maple Leafs choked the series away because they had it in their hands.
That's the greatest thing about the playoffs in any sport, is that before the series, if everybody said, okay, will you guys take the Leafs, lose it in seven? Mostly fans would say, hey, that would be pretty entertaining. That would be great. But if it went that way, it would be an absolute disaster.
A choke job.
But we've said all along, and I've actually agreed with Hayes about this, you readjust your expectations as you gain more information. Like going into the season, I said I believed they were going to be in that gray area from 7 to 12 as far as making the playoffs. They end up making the playoffs by 1 point. So you readjust. Okay, you get Washington. You don't get Ottawa, which coulda, shoulda, woulda happened with the Columbus game. So everyone has to readjust again, their mentality. Okay, you've got this beast coming in Washington who's dominated the league in the regular season for 2 years. So I'm watching, and I've said all along, I believe Washington in six. But I've had to at least think about readjusting because of the way the Maple Leafs have played, too. Mm. They haven't rolled over, and they've been really good and shown respect to the Capitals, but not too much respect that they haven't played their game. So that's why tonight, I'm driving down here tonight, I'm looking at the atmosphere, and I'm like, this is a pivotal game for me. This could be the statement. If they come in here and take control of the series with a commanding win, that's where I have to really go,
well,
hey, this is it.
And here's a statement that I may have to revisit down the road.
Okay.
Because opinions are always subject to change, and
right,
hot takes can get cold really quick. But I think if the Leafs play well tonight, and specifically the kids, tonight may mark the end of worrying about the kids being kids, which maybe we should have stopped worrying about that a long time ago, because this is not your conventional crop of young players.
Brian, we talked about that a lot. When they struggle at the end of the season or certain games in the playoffs, we're like, if we pump these guys' tires all season long and talked about them as superstars already, you can't fall back on that.
But you know people do, though. You know it's like, well, they've never been there before, so you got to give them some rope to learn and to fail and grow upon it. The Leafs, since day one, this rookie crop has been like, don't treat me like kids because I'm not playing like kids.
I talked about it in the World Cup when the Team North America, they had success, and I'm like, this is kind of a good sign for the Maple Leafs because they have a lot of young kids like this. And once they start playing good, you're just another team. You're just other players. It's a younger league. That's what they are. They're just players now.
You're right, but that's the one thing I took away, and remember I was quoting Babcock in Team North America. They were so exciting. They're so exciting, but in the end, they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And Babcock was kind of a little bit belligerent in his speech about that. Like, well, you know, the men got it done or whatever.
Team Europe.
Guys who have to feed their family you know, that whole speech.
Right.
I don't know that I agree, Brian, because, again, when it gets to if it gets to 3-1 tonight for the Leafs, at what point, is there a point where it starts to get real to these guys that, holy crap, we're this close to beating the President's Trophy winners and going to the second round? And maybe that's another test. So I don't think until the series is over. If they win the series, I think you can make that proclamation. But I think you have to get there. Because there could be five more twists and turns before it's done, and they could lay an egg and gain 6 and 7 or something after they're up 3-2.
Happened before.
I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns here still.
There's
a lot of storylines that have come out, but they haven't really. There's been a little fire here, a little fire. I mean, everyone tried to make a big case about Ovi playing 15 minutes the other night, and then people went back on the shifts and like, well, really, you know, taking the time down like
that was a weird description by their head coach. I mean, he was talking about power plays like they were shorthanded the whole night.
They didn't have a power play
until
the third period.
Three in a row.
Like how was Ovechkin not at 14, 15 minutes through two periods?
I should have been.
There was no explanation for that from Trotz.
One storyline I think you have to drop is when are the Caps going to wake up? That's not it. It's that this is just not a good matchup for them.
Right.
And it was the same with the Penguins and the Speed last year. I'm not saying that the Leafs are better than the Caps, and they've proven that. But this is not a matter. They haven't played great, the Caps, but I don't think they've been awful. It's just this isn't a great matchup. So they're not suddenly – I don't think we're going to see a scenario like San Jose last night. We're not going to see a 7-Cobb thing on the Leafs. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think what I've gathered out of the first three games, and as I said yesterday – I've got this series at a coin flip now. I wouldn't be surprised if Washington wins. I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto wins. Mm-hmm. I would have been before the series. I thought Washington was going to win the series.
Right.
I could be wrong. Clearly, Toronto's up 2-1. If they win now, it's easy for me to say three games in. I'm not adjusting my projection. You can't do that. But if they win now, knowing what we've seen, I won't be surprised. And again, I won't be surprised if Washington wins. What I will be surprised by is if it turns into a landslide either way from here on out.
Right.
Like if Washington wins the next 3 in a row, 4-0, 5-1, 6-2, I'd be really surprised.
Right.
If Toronto wins in 5 and does so borderline decisively, I would be really surprised. I think you're going to see more close games. I don't think you're going to see a 7-0 drubbing like we saw last night in San Jose. And I'll say this about Babcock. I kind of pounced on his comment before game one where he said, I think it benefits us that we're playing on night 2 of the playoffs because we can learn about what happened the night before. I think he would have changed his tune if they played on night 1. He would have said, it's great to get out there and get the feet right. wet. And you know. But I do think that could be and should be a learning experience for the Leafs last night, even though they weren't at the Shark Tank. Don't sleep on the old boys because if right. they're angry, they will come out and they will play angry. Right. And Edmonton was on discipline last night. They were brutal. They were awful.
But didn't you think that in this look, I when it was 2-0 wash the other night, didn't you think
I thought we were prepping for our hit saying this
it's
was
a 4-1 game. This is the Capitals. Now we're getting back into the
that
series.
Was near the end of the regular season where they came right. in here and kind of looked
and like, they better not play with fire again if you're the
no
Leafs.
But that's the great thing about this Leafs team is that they didn't do that. It wasn't that predictable. We can prepare the panel at the end of the first intermission because it's going right. to be 4-5.
And I give a ton of props to Mike Babcock. Watching this team over the last 2 years, they don't give in. And that's a lot of the players. They have belief. They're good players. They can stay in a game. But we went through a couple years where 2-0 meant
over.
Game over.
Over. Don't
wrap
come
this
out.
Up and let's get out of here.
Don't come out for the second. But
hang on a sec. You got some poll. If the Leafs win tonight, do we all go to wash?
I think we have.
Has that been talked about?
We are a national broadcaster. I know this is a Toronto radio
Dude, don't,
show.
Don't talk about us. Like, yeah.
Come on, JD.
Ottawa's in, Montreal's in. I have to care about my other cities, buddy.
No, so I know, but if Toronto.
No.
We don't go to Wash for game 5. No.
Budgets, too. Come on.
Budgets.
That would come out of my salary, probably.
Yeah, wait a minute. He can afford
the
it.
The Rubber Boots podcast would have to pay for it.
Could sponsor that.
Could sponsor
on the road.
Well, here, let me throw this out at you, hypothetical. If I
we
could
do
get
a,
you,
we do a podcast in Wash.
If I could get you Donald Trump on the Rubber Boots podcast, would you find a way to get
I
us down
I would turn
there?
Him down. It as would entertaining be as that would be.
Would you?
Yeah. I'm
imagine
sorry,
turning down Trump.
What if you just asked him? Quiet.
If we get 2 more overtimes, when does Dart Guy turn into Crack Guy?
Good question.
Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
You know what? I wouldn't be shocked if it happened again
it's
tonight.
It's nerve-wracking stuff, isn't it?
And I think that has led to the reaction. Like, I was trying to put it – I was on Leafs lunch again today, being a jackass. I was talking
did
too
you,
much.
Did you commandeer the show again?
I totally took it
hijack
over again.
Hijack shows when he's a guest.
When you're on for 3 hours, why do they make you a guest early?
I'm happy to come in. I got a lot of things to say, man. The Leafs are in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. And I was trying to, you know, trying to put it into perspective what it was like walking out of the building on Monday night. And it's tough, but I do think there was going to be excitement regardless of how they won. If they won 5-0 on Monday, people would be fired up. But because it's been 3 straight overtimes and 2 overtime wins in a row, and because it was overtime on Monday night, everyone was still in the building. Like, Leaf fans, if it was 5-0 with 2 minutes to go on Monday, half the building would have cleared out, even though it was a playoff game. Half right. of them would have been like, I got to get on the DVP. I got to get home. I'm up in 6 hours. I'm out of here. The fact that the building was packed and it ended in such an entertaining fashion, I think that led to the passion being there that much more, the reaction being so
well,
much more exuberant.
The passion was right next to me on my left.
You guys
on the stool to my left.
Well, this cat up. That was me in Ottawa opening night.
It may have been, I think it outdid the Matthews
really?
Draft lottery reaction.
Wow.
Yeah. And he kind of had a whole section. He was leaning over the kind of, we're up at the top of the gondola. And he was like, he brought in 2 seconds who were with him. It was kind of like the Pope when the new Pope is crowned. And he leans over and they're like, oh, dog. And he's going, yes. And then, like, I don't think it was just
like
a
I was showing
I think a leg there's came up over the railing.
There's a.
Oh, I think I just pulled
you
would, sit
you
down.
You guys are too old you, or too young to remember.
Are we on
this
TV?
Movie.
We're streaming.
Yeah, that'll be on stream. Somebody
just
saw
pulled,
that.
Like just pulled a quad. Hamstring.
That'll be on YouTube in an hour.
Do you remember the movie The Warriors? Probably wouldn't. It's
no.
old school.
Warrior.
Can
that
you
speech?
Dig it? Yeah. That's what he was doing.
Oh, okay.
There 20,000 hardcore members. There ain't 10,000 cops in this whole town.
And this
can
guy,
you dig it?
Can you dig it? He's standing over top of everyone. That would be the old.
No, they were yelling at me. You know that when I'm sitting beside you and Bob and Marty, I'm not going to be yelling like an idiot like that.
You were pretty excited at the end of the game, buddy. Come on.
Opening There's night.
That's why people love you, because you wear it on your sleeve.
The one thing is, though, at least it's at the ACC. Like, it's in his home building. He played on that ice.
Right.
Opening night, Matthew scoring 4. He did that in Ottawa.
How did that go?
So you got crusty old Ottawa newspaper guys who hate Toronto.
Dude, you were doing it too.
I gave a couple of like taps on the table, like nice, but you were like a
Noodles
full out.
Was like, sit down, you guys,
I
you're embarrassing.
Not yeah, once you were did I say that.
You did. You were like smart enough.
The only time I did that, once. Was I took notes the whole night. I just sat and took notes. What's amazing to watch people during the game, especially media types, like watch the game. They're on Twitter half the time, tweeting out plays, like, and then wondering, like, what happened there? Well, watch the game, and you'll know exactly what happened, and then tweet at the whistle.
Did you see that guy last night at the Raptors game? He had courtside seats, but he was behind the basket, and it was towards the end of the game. I think it was when Kyle hit that shot. Like, Kyle hit essentially the final shot to close the deal. They were up two, I think, and
eight
I think he made
left
it.
Or something.
Yeah, the guy, you could see him. Like, TSN had the game, and it was a behind shot, so they're looking towards the basket. So you see Kyle throw up the dagger, and there is some goon sitting there on his phone, he wasn't even paying attention. He's
really?
Sitting there. Everyone else is going nuts. Like everyone else, their mouths are open. Like here, please hit that shot to close the game. And this guy is on Twitter or Instagram or texting with somebody.
So after the shot, he didn't, not during the shot.
The whole play, and then after the shot, he didn't even flinch. He just stayed on his phone.
Because I wrote about
this,
I almost missed the Crosby goal in 2010, which was 30 feet away from me because my son was playing a playoff game, and I was Blackberries back then, and I was scrolling through my Blackberry trying to get a score.
Yeah.
And I actually heard, it was really quiet in there, and I heard Iggy. I heard that and kind of glanced up just as he scored. And I said, if I had missed that, man.
Wow.
Jeez.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I think you got to run. That's my understanding.
You're on the panel.
Do you have Dark Guy in today, or what's the plan?
I don't know.
How was Dark Guy?
My favorite moment about Dark Guy was that we were mingling with the crowd between our hits, and they were all excited. They said, "We met Dark Guy." And the person goes, he's really down to earth. He's just like a normal guy. Yes, that's the point. That's what he was 24 hours ago.
Yes, yeah. He is Dark Guy. Yeah. It's honestly like he's a superhero.
Anyway, enjoy the game. It's a fun ride.
We'll see you up top.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to it. There he is, James Duthie. Catch him SportsCenter hits right outside of Maple Leaf Square. 5:30, 6:30, postgame, whole nine. Bunch of hits. We're live at the SportCheck studio. We have Game 4 for you tonight right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. Pre-game at 6:30. This is a legacy night for one player. I'll tell you about who it is. I have a feeling you'll agree with me.
A legacy night?
A legacy game for one player. We'll break that down next.
A myth began to grow about my speed.
I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum!
I need a miracle.
Run!
From couching to 10K, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
Yes, it is. Couching to 10K is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. It's a Wednesday, which means we owe the world an update on our journey towards 10K.
I think we have to be honest with ourselves and we now have an understanding that Jamie is injured and he will not be able to participate in the 10K.
I'm going to try, but
No, you can't. You're going to have surgery. Like, you can't do it, which is a benefit to us because now we can just walk, right? I haven't done a thing in 10 days.
You haven't done anything?
Nothing.
I was on Leafs lunch today. I was hoping to maybe do something in the morning, and I went into...
No, you weren't. Like, you weren't hoping to do
anything. I had plans, man.
You had plans.
I had it penciled in. I was going to jump on the elliptical or go for a walk or
I'm
something
so
like that.
I'm so sad. I wish I could be.
I know. That's the worst thing. Like, you actually would... You would rather not have a back injury where O said he would rather have a back injury.
He walked out of Studio 6 the other day limping, and I told Bob McKenzie, I said, I just wish that was me.
No, You'd do anything for that.
I do.
I can barely even sleep. I can barely walk.
I don't
it's
care.
The worst feeling
I don't
to have
care.
Was,
I wish it was me.
Herniated disc.
It would make you feel better about not doing anything. Like, I went to Leafs lunch, and then I had time before we had to be down here, so I went to my old neighborhood. There's a sandwich shop, like, around my old spot.
Did you go to town?
I made love to a chicken parm.
You had sex with chicken parm?
Honestly, like, you know, there's heterosexuality, homosexuality. I am parm sexuality. I would actually marry a chicken parm. Like this thing is the best sandwich in the city.
Can you say the name of the place, or you don't want it?
I'll think about it. All right, because really, I want it to be my own little spot. I don't want other people.
I
don't want popularity. It's like having a great parking spot in the city. I don't want that kind of stuff. I don't want to walk in there and have to wait in line.
So you're gonna throw that. I'll
think about it.
For your selfishness. Like, I want to know where this chicken parm spot is.
It is unbelievable, this
it's
chicken parm.
It's probably a mom-and-pop place in, like, the back, a little pantry.
It's a couple of old Italian guys. It takes you 45 minutes to get your sandwich. Like, they're in no rush, out for a dart break. While after you order, you're like, yeah, can I just get a quick chicken parm? They're like, yeah, I'm going out for a dart, and then I'll make you a parm.
I'll ring it in later.
All good. I'll wait, happily.
It's that good.
It's that good, I'm telling you. So that was me too. I'm not really. I'm plugging along. We're plugging along. We're gonna be there though. We'll be doing our thing on May 7th. More updates later in the week.
Yeah. I got an update for you. I've got a friend in the crowd who set a record in Michigan.
With what?
Do you care to share, Dan, or no?
Was it like?
Spit it out now, man. You got to.
Beers drank on the course. What is it?
I think it was blowing over. He set a record in Michigan.
So drinking and then what? Like the...
He blew into the thing and he set a record in Michigan.
Really?
Like the alarm, a long time ago. Like an alarm went off, basically.
Dan, what happened? He just told you set a record or...
Living record. I mean, they found a corpse that had a higher blood alcohol content.
The autopsy came in one day.
A living record.
That is outstanding. That's up on a plaque somewhere in Detroit. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
That's a good one.
He earned it.
He earned it. He's still here today. Watching
that's
the
probably a long shift you got to put in.
I can only
How long
imagine.
Was the shift? Was it?
12 to 14 hours. Yeah.
That's a belly up.
Yeah.
That's a belly up at the bar.
Two bathroom breaks, 18 Tito's.
That's not even a big night. That's like a full day into a night, the next day. That's a full routine.
Anyway, that's just a little side stat.
Well, game four tonight, Leafs Caps, and this, for me, is a legacy game for one player.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
Alex Ovechkin.
Interesting.
Because I understand it's a team sport, and I think people have actually gone out of their way to stick up for Ovechkin based on the way he's played in the playoffs in the past, the way he's played at the Olympics. And let's be honest, his teams haven't won. It's not all on him, of course not. No, it's a team sport.
But if they don't win this series, he's going to go down as one of the greatest athletes that's not associated with winning.
But here's what I would say, though. Even if they lose tonight, he has to be the best player on the ice.
He's got to go legend tonight.
I think he's got to go legend. And if I'm the Capitals, I'm expecting it because he's got a couple of goals, a couple of points. At times he's been hot. I don't think he's dominated, though.
Not at all.
I don't think he's dominated. Spot duty, exactly.
I said that to you guys the other day. He's been in and out of plays. That's it.
But you know what you could say if you weren't watching? Hey, he's got a couple of goals. He's doing his
thing. Statistically.
Statistically, and that happens a lot. Oh, statistically, he got his points. What do you want to – if this is just the truth of being a superstar. It comes with the territory. Talk to Brady. Talk to Manning. Talk to Crosby. Talk to LeBron. Talk to Steph Curry. In situations like this, the superstar gets singled out. And he is the superstar of superstars in this series. He's the man. He's Alex Ovechkin. And even if they lose tonight, there are two players of the past 25 years who can put up stats the way he can. Him and Eric Lindros.
Yeah.
I've seen both of them walk out of games, 9 hits, 10 shots on net, 2 goals, and you're like, the opposition's like, what do you want me to do with that?
Nobody can say anything about it.
No one can.
Whatever they want.
And I'm kind of concerned that could happen tonight if you're a Maple Leaf fan. But if I'm Ovechkin, if I'm a Caps fan, if I'm an objective hockey viewer, I think there is so much pressure on him to be the most dominant player in the building tonight. And I think if he mails this one in or is mediocre, he deserves every ounce of criticism that will come his way. You want to be the man, the superstar making 10 schmil a year?
Right.
This is what comes with the territory. This will be the same story in 5 years with Matthews and with McDavid. McDavid's probably getting a bit in Edmonton. Let's be honest. He hasn't dominated that series.
No, he hasn't.
Right.
He could probably step up a bit more than he has.
There's no question he can.
You know,
just like Austin Matthews here. If we're going to pump McDavid's tires and say he's one of the, if not the greatest player in the game, well, you're not doing it right now.
Right.
So it's just the playoffs. It's a second season, so we can't just change our opinion and say, oh, you're young. You're only 19 or 20 years old. If we're going to do it during the regular season, we're going to give you all the accolades, you got to step up and provide that in the playoffs. And if you don't do it, you don't do it. It's very simple.
Steve tweeting and saying, Hayes, don't poke the bear with your Ovi comments. As if that he's sitting in the room right now stretching, listening to Overdrive, and he wasn't aware of how important the game is tonight.
Not happening.
He knows what's up. I honestly believe he's 31 years old. He's been around for a long time.
He's the greatest goal scorer of our generation.
Of our generation. And he's got a couple of goals, but he's also maybe the most dominating physical presence of the past 10, 15 years, too.
Yep.
Like, he is, honestly, him and Lindros are the two guys I can think of that can play 20 minutes and crush you.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroy you to the point where you're like, what do you want me to do with that?
Right.
Like, you guys played against Lindros.
It was ridiculous.
What do you want? What are you supposed to do when he's on his game?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, it's, they are, when they're on their game, they command the puck. They do what they want on the ice because nobody can really stop them when they impose their will. And Lindros was like that when he was healthy. There were a couple, 2-3 years when he was in Philly where he just would take the puck and skate through everyone or skate over everyone. And it wasn't scoring at will, but it was creating chances at will. And Ovi has been, statistically, yeah, he's got his a couple goals, but he's been perimeter. And I think the Leafs deserve some credit for that, too, because they've kept the puck away from where he could be dangerous. They've taken their battles low, where he covers the point in his own zone. So they're not going low to high. They're just working it down low.
Big time.
So Ovi just stands there. So it takes a while for him to get the engine revved up.
But it's almost like Alex Ovechkin can never have that shift. Sidney Crosby,
he can. You've seen him get the puck in the corner. He's got the spin back and then the spin back, and then it's dominating. Then he takes it out high, and then he goes back down low, and he makes a great pass. It's like Ovi goes in and hits. I used to play the same game. It was to the corner, hit, shovel the puck behind the net, and then get back to the slot. He's never going to have that kind of shift where it's total domination. He can dominate you with a shot like he did the other night, but he's never going to control the puck. He's like, I'm going to go in and hit you, but then I'm going to the slot because that's where I want the puck.
Right, and that is his style. There's no doubt about that. But he can – you can't throw a monster hit every shift. I get it, and it's not that easy. But
but if we're going to talk about Ovi being the best player on the ice, the SportsCenter hit, if one of us talks about him, it's going to be, look at these five hits where he just crushed the Maple Leafs D-man, and then there's these two goals, and then there's these great plays, and then there's these two plays where he got it out in his own zone at important times. I don't know if that clip where you tell the guy that's writing it down what he's done, I don't know if you're ever going to say, write all this stuff down about him.
Well, and that may not be the case, and that's probably why Crosby is where he is.
But like you said, if he's going to have that game and be this legacy-type game for him, that's what you're going to tell the guy to write down. Look at all these clips I've written down about him, what he did. Mm-hmm. Got the puck out, crushed defenseman, scored goals, set up plays. Ultimately, you're saying to James Duthie he was the best player on the ice tonight.
Well, and I'm sure Trotz is hoping for that. Obviously, he's going to play him more, you would think, than he did in Game 3. It's on the Leafs to try to stop that.
And through the years, Brian, Dale Hunter's the only guy that's ever been kind of critical, saying, you know what, if he doesn't want to play, he's not going to play. Remember, he came in there and he wasn't playing that much. He's been protected well, like for a team that's been designed to win a lot, because nobody ever comes out and says, well, if Ovi doesn't play, then we can't win.
Well, he always gets that protection. Like, he always gets the, hey, it's a team sport, don't blame him.
Yeah.
I'm not talking even about a win or a loss tonight. I'm talking about what he personally can control, because he can be better than he has been through three games.
No question.
It's that simple. He has not been the best player on the ice on any of these evenings, on any of the nights. And, again, if you're the Leafs, you have to keep that in mind, and you know Babcock's thinking that. And I'll be curious to see how Zaitsev plays in his second game, because he got torched early in game three. He'll be better. I think he will be better. He's physical. You noticed first couple of shifts the other night, he went at Ovechkin, and Ovechkin went back at him, and then he got taken out of that matchup because he was playing so poorly.
Yeah, he wasn't up to speed yet.
But Zaitsev back in, for the second game, I would expect more out of him. Carl Alsner will not play again for the Caps. That's a benefit for the Maple Leafs. I mean,
Zaitsev, he needs to be really good tonight. I think that's somebody that I'll track tonight as far as maybe one of those X factors. Because if we're talking about Washington revving it up and maybe Ovi having to dominate or try and impose his will, Zaitsev's going to be a guy that is going to draw his number some shifts.
Right, big time.
He's going to have to be a force on that side.
He's going to be coming down his wing all night.
Yep.
He's going to be battling for space in the slot. He's going to be paired up with Zaitsev many, many times, you would presume, going into a game like tonight. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 25 minutes. Jerry's percentages in just under an hour.
Jerry's in a mood.
I'll tell you what, the recording of Jerry's in the Sport Check studio was quite the experience.
Quite a scene?
It was quite the experience. It may be a new high or a new low of my career.
Depending on the way you look at it.
I'm not sure how to react. And it just dawned on me. We did our couching to 10K, and we're in like the athletic performance part of Sport Check. Like everything in here is like small or medium. They don't even offer L or XL options because anyone that's coming in here is clearly fit and working out.
It's lean and mean. Like we wouldn't fit into any of this.
No. There are no jean shorts.
I can squeeze into a couple over there, but
you got your stuff together, man. I wouldn't.
Not anymore. I'm starting to fade. 8 days in, it's a struggle.
I can never picture you beefy, ever.
Oh, I was beefy. I can put some beef on.
Can you see him beefy? You've seen me beefy. I mean, you know what that whole
story is all about. The Peter Griffin routine, that'll never come back. I don't think.
Another chicken parm or two, man. I won't be far behind. Believe
you
me.
You like a chicken parm?
I love a chicken parm. How do you feel about a chicken parm?
I had chicken parm last night.
Is that right?
You too?
No, I had it today.
I had it this afternoon.
Not that I wouldn't double back. I mean, that's a rare dish. I could knock that back on a daily basis.
Do you want me to send an email to see if there's chicken penne pasta?
I was just going to say, if there is penne pasta tonight, you would have chicken parm for lunch, and you would do a drive-by in the alumni box tonight?
Happily.
Really?
I would. It would be a drive-by shooting. I would roll through there, knock back some pesto chicken, and be a happy man. So send your email, see what the guys are saying in the alumni box. Again, we'll get to our playoff group grinder later in the hour. Weird vibe last night because the Raptors end up winning, but a lot has been made of the fact that the fans got into the building slower than usual, and it wasn't a packed house outside of Maple Leaf Square.
It was like Jurassic Park was going extinct out there.
Yeah, it was like Jurassic Park 3. It was like a movie that no one really cared about.
Right.
Like it wasn't even half full. It didn't look like it was half full. And the Blue Jay game, that doesn't help. The Jays lose again last night. They're 2-11. They're a disaster.
Is it are you ready? You're not ready to throw the towel.
I'm as close as you can get to saying they can't get back in it, because it's not like they're on the verge of breaking out. They are playing so poorly and fundamentally poor. You know, their bats came alive late. They put three on the board in the ninth, but it doesn't matter at that point. You lose the game. Who cares that you scored three in the ninth?
Is this the Edwin effect?
I don't know, because it's not like he's lighting the world on fire in Cleveland.
No, but
they're not doing too well
from a chemistry standpoint, think of all the comments that came out of the Florida Panthers dress room this year saying they took Gabranson out. And Gabranson's not
He's a fourth defenseman.
He's a four or five. But they took that dynamic out of the room and the way that they played back there, and they stumbled.
In terms of the message being sent, wouldn't shock me if there was a bit of a ripple effect, but not to this extent. Not 2-11 and putting up numbers across the board as a team that are just abysmal. Like, it's scary, the numbers they're putting up. And I tweeted out late in the game last night that the Rogers Center was a ghost town. Like, there was a shot in the ninth going into the ninth. Now, albeit they were losing, I think, 8-4 at that point, so people were clearing out.
Right.
But there was no one in the building. It was quiet. They're 2-11. I said it's like the first 45 minutes of Major League. Like, it's kind of like, whoa, what's going on? And someone actually responded appropriately and said, actually, it's the first 45 minutes of Major League 2 when the expectations were high.
Right.
But they stumbled out of the gate. But, you know, Stroman gets crushed last night. The bats kind of wake up, but then he throws out a dud. And
it's not good.
It makes you wonder if there's any friction or if there will be between the pitchers and the batters at some point, because the arms did their job for the first 10 games, and the bats couldn't come alive.
Right.
And you wonder if these guys are like, can you supply me with anything?
It's complete role reversal, man. It's crazy.
It is. So they're in action again tonight, but I can't imagine a lot of people are going to be focused on the Blue Jay game tonight with the Leafs playing game four and up 2-1. And the Leafs, I think, are in a situation where they're taking up 90% of the sports oxygen in the city.
Yeah, they are. They should.
And I'm not surprised, of course. This is fresh for them. Like, the Raptors have been in the playoffs 4 years in a row. The Jays are still in April. You know, it's been a bad start, but it's still only 13 games. There's a lot more games to be played. And the Maple Leafs are young, exciting. They're playing exciting games. Three games go to overtime. They're up 2-1.
Right.
And I was talking to a guy who works for a prominent company, and he's got a ton of tickets, and he's dealing with clients all the time. And he said, no one's calling for the Raptor tickets, but I'm getting emails every 10 minutes.
That Raps crowd inside the building was...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Something, too.
And I don't know if that's first round fatigue, if it's or if it's the Maple Leafs, and there's a lot of crossover crowds. Well, like the corporate community, like, it's like I can pick one night.
Do you want to double down and say, I went to the Leaf game, are you really revved up to go back to the Raptors game the next night?
No.
Not me.
And here's another thing. You're walking out of the building on Monday saying, I'm not missing game four.
But isn't it a shame that some of the seats are just flat out empty? Like, there's got to be some kind of system where it's like, if you own the seats, and I understand you pay a lot of money, but isn't there some kind of system where you can just, most people get them to scalpers and do it that way, but like, why, they shouldn't be empty,
I hear you, man. I know. Wow. Well, there's some empty seats. There'll be some empty seats in the ACC tonight because...
No kidding,
because
people just say, oh, I can't go tonight, and I'm not gonna give them that.
Last minute, you know, can't make it down, can't, or whatever. Or
is
there's,
that how
you
weaseled your way down?
One of those. It's like the chicken parm. I don't want to really reveal my secret.
I saw Jerry D on Twitter. He'd taken his kids, and they got tired, and he had to leave early. That happens.
The old Mark Wahlberg routine?
Yes.
Because Wahlberg, we took a run at Wahlberg, and you could take a run at Jerry D for leaving the game early?
No, not at all. He's got young kids. What are you supposed to do?
Okay.
Like, give them a damn good beating to stay?
I don't know, man.
No, they're tired. They got to go home.
It's game three.
So what do? Like, yell and scream at them? Like, wake up, kid,
no,
or let them sleep?
There's nothing you can do.
No.
You have to leave. Shout out to Jerry D.
We love Jerry D.
We love Jerry D.
We love Jerry.
I'm just goofing around. Ray, in about 20 minutes, Jerry's percentages. Wendell Clark is going to join us in studio around 6:10. So get Wendell in here. Get him fired up for the game tonight. Maple Leaf Square is opening up to the masses in the next 20 minutes, so we expect people to pour in. It's supposed to be decent weather tonight, 14, 15 degrees. I don't think it's supposed to rain. So I would expect it'll be hopping. Yep. And you know inside it will most certainly be hopping. And you can hear the game right here on TSN 1050, puck drop just after 7 p.m.
And I'm really tired. I'm going to be really tired tonight. And we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, all right?
Okay. You're calling your shot on fatigue tonight?
Well, I know what can help it. Are we going to do that or no?
All right. Let's talk in a minute. We'll see where we're at. Ray's coming up in 20 minutes.
I'll tell you what I'm going to need when I go to sleep tonight.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay.
Are you just cluing in now?
I had no idea what you're talking
about.
I got you. All right. Yeah, you're right. In about 30 seconds, we're going to be doing that.
Yeah, we are.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grime when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, Grit Griner, looking back on last night.
I'm going to go with Rick Nash. Big game-winning goal for the New York Rangers. Get them back into the series at 2-2. Canadian teams are back to even. It'll be interesting
to see. Not this one, Noodles. Not the one you happen to call home.
Exactly.
Here in Toronto.
I got a two-pack. Logan Couture, San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
And Ryan Merkley of the Guelph Storm, the second Guelph Storm rookie to win Rookie of the Year since?
Jeff O'Neill?
Yes. Really?
Did Bertuzzi ever win Rookie of the Year?
No.
Wow, look at you guys. Was he the first overall pick, too, that Merkley kid? Defenseman, isn't he?
Yes.
Look at me with the info.
Up-and-coming player.
What are you, Craig Button?
I'm trying to be. I was going to go with Rick Nash. That's a good call. I think Pavelski deserves a little bit of love.
And we got to give a shout-out to our friends down at 11. We were looking for maybe some bacon tonight because we had bacon the last game. I missed it. But we want to keep tradition, right?
But we're paying for it. We're not like freebies.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Some meatballs, some bacon.
I love how we mix in meatballs.
Yeah, like how did meatballs get into the mix?
That wasn't a part of tradition.
They got unbelievable meatball. We want some meatballs. We'll pay for it.
Okay, but you're putting your order in on live radio now.
Let's just see if it works. If I leave again, I'll be devastated.
The passion that unites us all, meatballs and maple
and bacon.
We're live at the Sport Check studio ahead of Game 4 tonight. Puck drop just after 7 p.m. Pre-game at 6:30. You can hear it only right here on TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Ray Ferraro's coming up. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Lots to continue to touch on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.